Well, today we are true freedom in the sun, and it doesn't mean go to Florida. True freedom in the sun, go to Florida. Okay, let's pay attention now. So the lesson starts off with saying about how that many people today treat the Bible as literature, you know, and it isn't really anything more than, you know, good stories and something to believe. And it's kind of, this week I was talking to a lady, and of course she has been a Roman Catholic all her life, and she said, well, we never were allowed to read the Bible, but now they're teaching us to read the Bible. And she said, they're telling us we should take it, you know, a lot of these things literally. And I said, yeah, we are literalist, meaning that where the Bible says it's a parable, it's a parable, and where Jesus says this happened, this happened. You know, it's literal. And the same way with the history of Israel and coming out of Egypt and not going, you know, wandering the wilderness and all those things. It was all because of, they were real stories, crossing the Red Sea. Those were real situations that are recorded. So, and the parallel then is, you know, we know this is, the scripture says that these things happen as examples for us. So we can learn from them. And then we, as Gentiles and Christians who have believed in Christ, that we see how that Christ has made application of those promises which were given to a nation, to the nation of Israel, is continue to give to the body of Christ. So that's why we can read texts of the Old Testament and know that they are applying to us today, even more so than what they were back then, because back then it was as a nation, and now we're as individuals following God. So so the book, the scriptures, is not the work of man. Its origin, its design, and all of it is attributed to God and to the Holy Spirit, that God moved upon the hearts of men, and they wrote down. It isn't a verbatim. It isn't a dictation. That they were inspired by God to write what they wrote, and that's why we can all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for reproof and for rebuke and exhortation, things like that. It's a loose quote, but that's what it is for. Some people resent the literal interpretation of the scriptures, because if you take the scriptures literally, then that means the Ten Commandments are literal. You can't do these things. You know, God says don't do them. And people who are thinking that it's just a book of poetry and other things, then God isn't really giving to us any boundaries. He's not outlining any strict commands that you shall not do things. So being a free thinker is really finding themselves as an addicted to their sins. And the only free people are those who have found freedom in Christ, freedom from their sin and freedom from pleasing man, but, you know, following God. So the only genuine free people are those who the truth has made free. And we know we found that in Christ, and that's what we study here in the lesson. So John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So there were many in Jerusalem who believed. Now, the commentary here says that their belief was kind of like a superficial belief. They were not the true dedicated believers of Christ. Their understanding of who Jesus was still a long way off, but they were beginning, as it were, the initiation, initiating them, being initiated into their faith of believing in Christ. And so the Lord took them at their professed word and sought to lead them on in this genuine discipleship. And he says, if you continue in my word. Now, whenever we read that, we see that it also is not only, we see that it is applicable for those in Israel and the Jews who were just beginning their faith, but it's for all of us who are in faith that if you, what does it say? If you continue in my word. Now, the scripture says faith comes by hearing the word of God. So, if you continue to study and read the scriptures, that your faith will grow and your understanding of God will continue to grow. It doesn't mean that you understand everything that's in the Bible. It means that you begin to understand more and more. So if you continue, if you continue in my word. So we believe that who Jesus is and that what he said is true. And it is then we move on to the idea of self-commitment and giving our life over to Christ and giving our life to the scriptures and the teachings of Christ. So it's a continual process. Now, salvation is an initial confession of sin, but that's the beginning of the journey, not the end of it. So it's the beginning of the journey where we are finding our way with God, and that God has saved us from our sins. Now we have spiritual eyes and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the people through the scriptures. Verse 32, Jesus states the power of truth, which finds its ultimate embodiment in Jesus Christ. So whenever we see that Jesus says here that ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, that this empowerment or this power of the truth sets us free. And it's important, I think it's important how that we understand the truth. The power of the truth is that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, okay? That's the truth. The power of the truth is that when we try to go back and when we try to take on the guilt again of the things that are already confessed, the power of the truth is that, no, you are forgiven. That sin no longer exists. You remember it, but it doesn't exist. It's been forgiven. So the situation was correct, but it is no longer given to you. It's like you have a $10,000 debt and somebody goes in and pays the debt. There's zero balance. And you remember, I have a $10,000 debt. Then the power of the truth is you had a debt, but it's canceled. It's gone. It's paid in full. See? So you remember you had it, but it's paid in full. So the same way with our sins. And so that's the power of the truth. And Jesus is saying this. So the more we understand of the scriptures, the more we understand of what God is telling us in his word, we find that this is where we have the power of the truth. And here is the freedom that the lesson text says emancipates us from all forms of bondage. So freedom that illegal social and political restrictions. So we are emancipated from the bondage. We are legally forgiven. We are socially forgiven. We are the political restrictions, as in boundaries that we would have, no longer exist. So we have been emancipated from the bondage. The emancipation of proclamation. Nope. Right. It's important that we understand the completeness of that forgiveness and that we then are reflective of this. You know, we are reflective of this forgiveness and, you know, and the actions that we have and the attitude that we have towards ourselves and others changes. You know, we're not the same. We're not the same as we're not the same person as we were before. You know, this one person gave his life to the Lord. This is many years ago. And whenever he was a sinner, he smoked a big cigar and he told everybody what to do. Okay? And when he became a Christian, he carried a big Bible and he still told people what to do. He never changed. He said he gave his life to Christ, but in Christ, you know, in his mind, Christ just took him from being a boss with a big cigar to a Bible with a big, you know, with a big attitude, you know? His attitude never changed about people. And he never saw himself as a servant and serving other people. He was there to, you know, put it in your face what you needed to do. Amen. So anyhow, you just let those people go, you know. Okay, I won't go on anymore there. I remember one time, we were talking. Well, he was talking and I was listening. And then he started poking me in the chest and telling me what I needed to do. And I said, "Stop poking me." He goes, "What? What?" You know, he didn't even know he was doing it. He was, you know, as a boss, he would be poking people and telling them what to do and firing them and everything else. So he became a Christian and he's just poking people in the chest. I had two people do that to me. This one, and there was a guy in hospice. He was, I know, it's okay, it's in the lesson. There's this guy in hospice. He was a person who, let's say, in his right, he considered himself a Christian. And they were the, you remember that Harold Camping guy on the radio? He used to, you know, tell everybody, you know, if a person died, when the child died, and it was predetermined by God if they should, as an adult, that they would be saved, they'll go to heaven. And it was predetermined by God if they, as an adult, they would not be saved, that child would go to hell. I mean, this person was part of that group. And he loved just poking me in the chest and telling me how bad I was. And I said, "Stop poking me." You know? But you see how Paul was killing people, but then whenever he changed, he had that same tenaciousness, but he wasn't trying to kill them. He was trying to love them into the kingdom. See, that's the change. And so we're just not exchanging a cigar for a Bible. You know, we are changing an attitude. We're changing who we are. Verse 30, go ahead. Yeah. Right. You either walk away from Christ or I'll kill you. And, you know, that was his attitude. Well, once he became a Christian, once he understood Christ and what Christ had, you know, he was the Messiah, once he understood all these things, well, then he had to have the attitude of Christ. But he had it in a manner that no matter what happened, he was going forward. You know, his tenaciousness was, huh? He wasn't killing anyone. No, he wasn't. He would himself rather die than hurt them. You know, that's why we get him stoned and beaten with rods and all this kind of stuff. The things that he did to others, he now suffered. And I don't want to say he gladly suffered, but he suffered that for Christ. You know, he talks about those, the things that I've suffered, I suffer only for, you know, for the glory of God. So, verse 33, and they answered him, and so these people there that Jesus is speaking to, there are those who were his disciples. Remember, there were some who believed in him, And he tells him, well, if you know the truth will make you free. Free from sin, but free from the, free from the legalism of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so they were this group, and they were, some of them were like this superficial, you know, they're just beginning this journey. And then there were the guys who just all and out were against against Jesus. And they answered him, telling Jesus, we are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. Okay? Now, it's funny how that in an argument, they forget that they were in Egypt. They were in Babylon, the Assyrians, the Romans, that were now captive, held, you know, they were in bondage. We weren't in bondage to anybody. Okay, you forgot some people here. How sayest thou, you will make me free? How is it we're not in bondage and you're going to make us free? And Jesus answered them, I want to tell you this. Verily, verily. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So, does anybody have another translation for verses 34 through 36? That's it. The bondservant, like I said, they forgot. And then they assumed their devotion, okay? They assumed that their devotion to the traditions of their father constituted the supremacy of their religion. We have followed the laws that are given to us by our forefathers, but have been expanded by the Pharisees and Sadducees. We have followed them to the T. So this is our true religion. We have obeyed, and in reality, they're not far off. If you obey my commandments, you love me. Well, God gave them 10 commandments, and they were to obey those commandments. But what happened is the Pharisees and those guys, they just piled on these hundreds of others, and they were trying to obey hundreds of commands and missing out on the 10. So verse 34, if you've committed sin, is the servant of sin. So if you have committed sin, you are its servant. So the tense of the verb sinning as a condition, habit, or practice. It's not a single act. A person who commits sin is a servant of sin. It doesn't mean that you fail and do something wrong and you repent. This is meaning that you are the person is a person who is continuously, habitually practicing sinful habits. Okay, so. There we go. That's what I was looking for. The transient who can't come and go as his own will. A bond servant means that they are trapped in that house. You cannot leave. You cannot leave that person who owns you. So the person who is caught in their sin just can't come and go. So John emphasizes this truth repeatedly. Paul describes the slavery aspect of sin in Romans and describes the new life in terms of a new life of service for God. Sin, like the worst narcotic, is habit forming. So. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. The servant can't live. Is that what it's saying, dear? 35? Or did you move away from that?
34 to 38. So a slave, the son, though, has an established position, the run of the house. So if the son sets you free, you are free, through and through, and I know you are Abraham's descendants, but I also know
Yeah. Okay. What's that? What? Are you talking to us? Are you talking to me? You talking to me? To me? You got a thick skull? Did you hear? Skull. I didn't either. I didn't hear. She's laughing at skull. What? What are you saying? Skull. A thick, you know, but anyhow. Well, you know, whenever you're in counseling, whenever, you know, doing counseling, I use the analogy. If you're sending out a signal and the person receiving it isn't playing back to you the message you're sending out, something's wrong. They're on the wrong, yeah. You're on the wrong station, or you're really not clear. So something's wrong here, you know. So, and that's why we want to hear the word. You know, that's why the Holy Spirit is our one who interprets the scriptures and places them in our heart, because it's that personal application. So, so John here in verse 35 contrasts the positions of slave and son in the same household. Okay, a slave and a son, they are not the same. They're in the same house, but they're not the same. You see, there's a difference between sinner and, I'm going to say saint, but we're all saints, saint and the forgiven one. So the unforgiven and the forgiven. So whenever we are praying, we need to recognize we are the son and daughter of God. We are his children in his house. So we are his. Now, there are people who aren't his, but we're not accountable for them as to their life, because they have a sin that their life is a practicing their sins, okay? All right, so the slave is wholeheartedly at the mercy of the master, and then the son is the father's blood. He is heir of all the masters, of all that the master owns. That's why when Jesus says, you are my sons, you are my daughters, and that we will inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's Christ's kingdom, and we inherit his possession. Okay? The word rendered indeed, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Indeed is essentially, it means essentially, the freedom promised by Jesus is essentially and fundamentally. It is not mere political or convenient freedom. Such freedom with its moral and spiritual implications can come from Christ alone. So, essentially, you shall be made free indeed. Essentially, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are, you know, in Christ, forgiven and forever in his, you know, name written in his book of life, and you are his heir, joint heirs with Christ. That's the word of scripture I was looking for. All right, verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Okay, so he's really, this little section of scripture here is a very important dialogue that is written by John about what Jesus is saying to the believers who are, they're new believers and just kind of filling out their faith, and then there are these Pharisees that are just trying to hammer at Jesus. And so Jesus knows what's coming, and he knows where he's going with this. And he says, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen my Father, with my Father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. Well, their relationship with Abraham basically has no value. Because they're seeking to kill Jesus, and Jesus is the one who Abraham's seen. And in the next verses here, I'll finish this one. My word hath no place in you explains the motivation for the actions of Jesus' hearers. Because the gospel I preach, that is, the message I brought from my Father, makes no progress in your hearts. You reject me and make plans to kill me. So Jesus knows what they're up to. And he knows what their plans are. And, you know, they're just kind of putting up with Christ, as it were. They're putting up with his teachings, trying to find the nugget or the truth. And I mean, there's some error in what he says so that they can try and kill him. And he says, if you were the sons of Abraham in the highest spiritual sense, they would believe. So if you really were Abraham's seed, you would believe me. Verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. All right, so they're okay, Jesus, you said if you were Abraham's children, and they're coming back and saying, we are Abraham's children. Jesus said to him, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. All right, so you would be about doing good and seeking God and following after his leadership. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard from God. So Jesus is saying, you're trying to kill me, and I'm telling you what the truth is. You don't want to hear it. And my message has come from God. You don't want to hear it. But Abraham heard the word that I said, okay? You do the deeds of your father. So he's telling them in a little bit, Abraham is not your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So they're telling Jesus, you know, that you were born, you know, Mary, your mother wasn't even married when you were born, and but we have one father, we have God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. So, you know, whenever we start seeing how that God is at work in our life, and if you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind, love your neighbor as yourself, you know, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So when we're thinking of the, you know, anything that comes from the devil, inspired by evil, there's no truth in it. There is maybe the shadow of truth only to get you to believe a lie. And so Jesus is saying to them if you were of Abraham, you would understand that what I'm telling you is the truth. All right? And earlier he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, and because, verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. You want to read that one, dear? 45.
Fills the
One more.
But I'm telling the truth. Why don't you believe me? Anyone on God's side listens to God's words. This is why you're not listening, because you're not on God's side.
Amen. That's what he says. You know, you're not listening. Everything that, you know, that's why it's sad to say there are some people you can't trust them. You just can't trust them. No matter how they dress it up, there's still a lie under there somewhere. It's because of their nature. Their nature is just to lie and to get you to believe a lie so that you will be deceived and they can take from you what you got. And no, they won't have a guilty conscience because they don't have a conscience. So that's why everybody who said, you know, that's why we have to be wise as serpents, harmless as dove. We need to know what the truth is. And if there's this stirring in your heart that says, don't believe them, then don't. Doesn't matter what they didn't swear in a stack of Bibles. They're still lying. And it's just because their nature is a liar. And that's because of their father. And Jesus is fully conscious. He is fully conscious of himself that he is the truth. See, he is the truth. And whenever we are reading the scriptures and we're reading and understanding the teachings of Christ, this is the truth. The truth of life, the truth of our soul, the truth of our character, the truth of our mind and our thoughts, that we do not entertain thoughts that are not of the truth. You know, just, you know, things, how we get even with people, don't, forgive them. Turn them over to God. You know, if I don't know God, should I trust him? Well, wait, don't commit. Wait, see what happens. You know, there's just certain things we just need to be aware of. All right. Then, verse 48, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan? Okay, this one is, then they answered and said unto Jesus, you are a Samaritan, and we say that you have a demon. Okay, they couldn't stand up to Jesus and what he was telling them. They knew that what Jesus was telling them was true. And, you know, they were faced with the light. You know, they live in darkness and the light was shining on their life. And they were either going to confess and change or they were going to hide and attack. And so they were hiding in their sin and they accused Jesus. You are a Samaritan and we say you carry a demon. You're crazy. You ever been told you're crazy? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. Think about that. I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. So whenever we are honoring Christ, we are honoring God the Father. When we pray and believe and ask God for strength and guidance and do the right things, you know, we are honoring God. And in so we are honoring the Father. You know, I think of what we were saying last couple of weeks about how that whenever we do something, we do it quietly and not, you know, be announcing to everybody, here, let pay attention, I'm doing this good thing, this good deed for whomever, you know. No, you just do it as behind the scenes and, you know, that God will reward you openly. Well, I think of it how that God is behind the scenes. He does the very same thing for us. He's behind the scenes working that it can just seem like it flows naturally. The natural chain of events are just coming and they're good things. Well, that's God working behind the scenes. That's God working in the situation. So, Jesus answered, I have not a devil. I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Well, these guys are just, they don't know who they're sparring with here, with their limited in abilities to see beyond their own traditions and their own laws, and they're so blinded by their works and their laws that they can't see Jesus. Jesus ignores the insults as beneath his notice, you know. And in the kingdom which he came to establish, the difference between Jews and Samaritans are meaningless. So Jesus was not worried about the Samaritans, and he was not worried about, thou art a Samaritan. You know, Jesus is saying, I'm not worried about the Samaritans, and I'm not worried about you. In my eyes, they're all equal. They all need me. Jesus did not hesitate to vindicate God's honor. It was his mission in the world to honor the Father and do his will. There is one that seeketh and judgeth, and that is God himself. And Jesus could say, as God himself is my judge, it is not my personal gain or glory, but his glory that I am seeking. So whenever we are seeing our goals, we are seeking God's glory to be through our life, but we have to be doing something. You know, God is doing something through us. All right. Verse 54. You want to read it, Rondo? It's 54 and 5. Yeah. So it says, Jesus said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. So if I shine the light on me and me alone, it means nothing. It is my Father who is shining the light on me. You know, and sometimes I think we don't realize how much when God blesses us that or you know, is blessing us, we're not shining the light on ourselves. God is shining the light on us because we are giving God the glory. You know, when people look at what God has done in us, we want them to, you know, we want the glory to go to God. You know, the honor goes to God for who he is and what he has done. And this is what Jesus is saying here. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I'd be a liar. So Jesus said, it's impossible for me to deny who I am. It's impossible for me to deny who I am. Now, in our life, it's impossible for us to deny who we are. We are his child. Remember, he says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. Well, you see, it's not only that we are telling people, or living people, bringing them, you know, telling them about the message of Christ, it's that our life is a light to Christ. And when the light is on our life, people see, they see God in it. And then verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see the day, to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. So, you know, when the scripture says that in the Old Testament that people, they died in faith, not having received the promise. So Abraham died in faith knowing that the Messiah, the promised one, would come. Even though he had a son, Isaac, it was not, Isaac was not the fulfillment of the promise, okay? But he saw the time in which Jesus would come. So Jesus says, you know, Jesus is telling him, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Well, then the Jews, they're saying to him, thou art yet 50 years old, and how can you say you had seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus is telling us and declaring to us and to them his timeless existence. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not only yesterday, today, and forever from the 2,000 years ago, But before creation, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And before Abraham was, I am. I am. Hey, Moses, I am that I am. Yeah. Then took they up stones to cast at him. You know, and how do you lose sight of somebody that you're going to stone right in front of you? Jesus hid himself and he went out of the temple. What's that? Yeah. You're God. What's, you know, you see the movies, the guy, they flip the hood up and there nobody sees them. You see Jesus going and walking out. Where'd he go? Where'd he go? He just blinded their eyes. They couldn't see him. And he went out of the temple going through the midst of them and so passed by. He went right through the middle of them and they didn't know who he was. They couldn't see him. So, what's the title of the lesson? Jesus. True freedom in the Son. So, freedom we find in Christ is ageless. Abraham found it, and those who follow in Christ's word, they find it also. Amen. Oh my, yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, we've got our heritage here. We've got our birth certificate. Anything else? So, next week is Jesus' claim of divine sonship. So, Father, we thank you that your word is a light to our path, and God, it's a light to our life, that as we study and know your word, that it encourages our heart, and Lord, it gives us strength for this day. And Lord, that as we hear your word, our faith continues to increase, and Lord, we know that you will make a way for us where there is no way. So we are grateful. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.